The Bible says he's the prince and the power of the air. And as the prince and power of the air, Satan has influence over demons. As the prince of this world, he has influence over man. Who's going to break that influence? Who's going to break that bondage? I'm here to share with you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ has broken it at Calvary. The victory has been won. And so, we come then to this verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, having, listen, past tense, having something that's already done, something that's already accomplished, having disarmed principalities and powers. That's demonic forces. That's demons. That's those fallen angels that fell with Lucifer. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing. You get it? Triumphing over them. What a beautiful thing that is. It's good to have some triumphs. But there's one who had the triumph of all triumphs at Calvary. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need to tell you something. And most of us probably know this. But think about this. You see, there's these two kingdoms that we've been talking about. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. You see, in the kingdom of darkness, Satan wanted to have authority. But God says, I've given this authority based on your finished work. The Lord Jesus could say, all authority has been given unto me. I have that authority now because I'm that one that has satisfied God. I am that one that has pleased him in every way. So what do we read? We read in scripture that in Matthew chapter 2, Satan says, okay, I remember what God said in the garden. I remember that God said that her seed is going to crush me. So what do I have to do? I have to wipe out her seed. So what does he do in Matthew chapter 2? What does he do? He gets Herod, and remember, he's the prince of this world, so he influences men, and he influenced Herod, and he said to Herod, what I want you to do is I want you to kill all the babies, 2 years and under, and that's what Herod did. Satan thinking that he might snuff out her seed. But we know that that didn't happen. We know that God had a divine plan to save you and I. That the Lord Jesus would come into this world. That he would live that perfect life. That he would go to Calvary. That he would pay the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And he would go into death. And he would die that death on Calvary's cross. But he would come out victoriously out of the grave on that third day. That he would be ascended up into heaven. And then the Father said to him, sit here till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Total victory. And so, in Matthew chapter 2, we see Satan working through Herod. But then what do we find? Satan says, okay, I can't work through Herod. That didn't work. So plan B. Plan B is that now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to him. You see, the Lord Jesus, when he was baptized, heaven opened and a voice from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't done any miracles. He hadn't spoken a word that's recorded. But the Father looked at that life. The Father in heaven looked at that perfect life. And the Father in heaven said, this is my beloved son. In fact, what it says, when it says it opened up the heavens, what that word open means, it means to be torn open. It's as if the Father, so thrilled and satisfied with his son, could contain himself no longer and would tear open the heavens and would make this declaration that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And so then the Father would make this declaration. And then what do we find? The Lord Jesus goes into the wilderness. And the Lord Jesus there is tempted by the devil. The devil comes to the Lord Jesus. And the devil offers the Lord Jesus. He offers him bread. Don't rely upon God. And then he offers him other things. And we find that there's three temptations. And we'll look at that a little bit this week. I don't want to get into them now. But we find out that he offers him these things and he says, listen, I'll give you a shortcut to your kingdom. All authority has been given to me. All the kingdoms of the world have been given to me. And if you bow down, I'll give them to you. You bow down to me. But the Lord Jesus knew that there would be no glory without suffering. He knew that he would have to go to Calvary because he came not to do his will, but to do the will of him who sent him. And he knew that it included Calvary. And so we find that Satan, in the temptation of Christ, interestingly enough, it says this there in Matthew chapter 4, it says that Satan left him for time, meaning that he would come back again, meaning that it wasn't over, meaning that I'm still in this battle. I'll come back. And so what do we find? We find again, Satan, this foe. We move toward Gethsemane, and we find the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. As the Lord Jesus is contemplating what it means to go to Calvary. And I've heard some interesting things on this. I've heard preachers say that the Lord Jesus, the reason he prayed and the reason that he sweat as it were great drops of blood, because he was afraid to go to Calvary. No. No. Far be the thought. That's why he came. But you know what concerned the Lord Jesus? Remember, the Bible tells us this. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is that perfect sacrifice, that Lamb of God, that one who knew no sin. The Bible says that he was perfect. He was without sin. The Bible says he did no sin. The Bible says he knew no sin. The Bible says that in him was no sin. The Bible says he was without sin. The Bible says that the ruler of this world, there's nothing in him that the ruler of this world could take and use. So the Lord Jesus was spotless, without sin. And so what do we find? In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus is sweating, as it were, the great drops of blood, because his holy nature was shrinking back from the very thought of being made sin. And by the way, I'll just insert this. The Lord Jesus didn't become sin. He was made sin. His holy nature couldn't become sin. But he was made sin. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Tremendous. What love. What love. And so what do we find? We find the Lord Jesus sweating, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane, and contemplating being made sin for us, contemplating what it was. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Thy will be done. If you need me to go to Calvary, if you need me to go to Calvary, Father, I'll go all the way. And all the way he went. Dear friend, tonight, all the way the blessed Lord Jesus went to Calvary. And the Bible says, if we had time, we could look at it in Psalm 22, the bulls of Bashan surrounded me. They gaped at me with their mouth. He says that there the enemy was attacking. And you look at that and you see all the forces that Satan would use, all those forces that they would gap at him with their mouth, that they would look at him, that they would mock him, that they would spit upon him, that they would treat him so cruelly. Why is that? Because they would be under the influence, and it was out of their hearts full of sin. And a heart that is unregenerated, a heart that does not know the Lord Jesus, can be full of all sorts of sin and wickedness. And that's what we find at Calvary. We find the heart of man being revealed at Calvary. No doubt under the influence of the wicked one. And there they were, they spit upon him. They stoned him. And then they took a rod. And they took that rod and put a crown of thorns upon his head, upon his blessed brow. And then they took that rod and they beat that crown of thorns into his brow. And then they plucked out his beard and they scourged his back. But listen, all those physical sufferings of my Savior, all those physical sufferings would not have saved me, would have not gotten me into heaven. The physical sufferings, there was something else that took place at Calvary.